And my version of badass Asian dudes is just like picturing somebody who's like super independent, able to do what he wants on his own terms.
Are you willing to, you know, like live by your own set of rules? Are you willing to, you know, like break out of societal customs?
And I was doing so many things to impress so many other people, and all the way to the point where, you know, I started my own company. I started three companies.
I believe that we're all massively creative people. You may not be creative in the way that I'm creative, or like you're not going to articulate and communicate in the way that I will, and I don't expect you to.
When I was growing up, I was the definition of the nerdy, shy, introverted Asian kid with two tiger parents who didn't even give me a choice. I just had to be a doctor.
My parents came to America with no money, so I didn't get, you know, this idea of emotional intelligence. They don't know what that is. Like, it was survival mode.
When you see someone else that looks like you, or represents you being emotionally intelligent or training their mental fitness, when you see that, all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, maybe I can do that too.
What's up, badass Asian dudes? This is Victor Ung back with another episode, and I'm excited to have on our guest, Mike Hong. He is the owner of KM Communities, a social enterprise merging residential real estate investment and community development in Oklahoma City. Mike was on the founding board of directors and is the current president of the Asian District Cultural Association. He was recognized as among the top up-and-coming leaders in Oklahoma City under 30 years old, becoming financially independent at the age of 31. As a public speaker, Mike uses his experience in business and his family's journey as immigrants to the U.S. as a platform to influence and inspire others. He has been invited to speak around the country and has spoken to crowds upward of 25,000 people. Mike accounts his drive and business and leadership to his family's Vietnamese heritage and faith. I'm personally excited to talk with Mike because of how much he really helps with the community and how his culture has really influenced his decision to really focus on community, especially after obtaining financial independence through real estate and other businesses as well. And so we kind of talk about a lot of different things in this episode and bounce around to a lot of different things. But if you kind of stick with us, I'm sure you'll get a lot out of this episode and even just new perspectives or new ideas or new ways of thinking about something. If you do get value, please do consider sharing this episode with a friend that would also get value out of it, and go ahead and leave a review on whatever streaming platform you're listening to right now. We'll talk a little more about the group and updates and what we're up to at the end of the episode, so stick around for that. For now, enjoy the episode. What's up, badass Asian dudes? This is another episode here. We have an awesome guest, Mike.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, good to have you here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been hearing a lot about you guys, listening to some podcasts, and hey, I'm sitting next to Victor Ung, the famous badass Asian dudes host.
You're giving me too much credit, but no, I'm excited to jump in here. We have some cool topics to talk about in terms of your story and what you've been working on as well for not only your business, but for the community and whatnot, and even just dive into deeper topics about your own philosophy on things. But
I'm an open book.
Yeah. So we'll just dive right in. I mean, we like to start our question or our show with a question. What does being a badass Asian dude mean to you?
Yeah, so I've listened to a couple podcasts kind of prepping for it. Been chewing on it. I'm not sure I have the best succinct answer, but what I would say is someone who excels in taking responsibility of what's been entrusted to him at a high level. And so I think as men, we're called to be certain things or to be in different roles. And so a badass to me is somebody who takes those roles and exceeds at it. So for example, someone that I called a badass recently, have you heard about what's going on in Ukraine? It's all over the news.
Yeah.
So the president, Vladimir Zelensky. So I didn't know about him at all. I still don't know a whole lot about him, But after hearing his story about how he's just a normal guy, he used to be a comedian, and his country starts getting attacked by Russia. And to look at the difference between the two countries, Russia, their GDP is about 10 times the size of Ukraine. So I would imagine their forces outweigh Ukraine by a lot. And so it's a total David and Goliath sort of thing. And so a lot of his critics, whenever they were talking about his presidency, how he's doing, they thought he would fold if Putin was going to attack the country and he was going to escape like a lot of the other leaders did. And even President Biden offered him a way out. And then Zelensky said something like, "I don't need a ride, I need ammunition."
Wow.
Yeah, so he was talking about how, like talking to the world, and he was talking about how I'm enemy number one, or I'm target number one, my family's target number two. This may be the last time you see me alive because they're attacking the city. And he didn't escape, and he stayed. He said, "Such and such is here, such and such here, I'm here, we're gonna stay and defend the country." And you see that courage next to pictures of him with his family, just a normal guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's badass. And so his standing up for his country, him fulfilling his role, taking responsibility at a high level, really inspired a lot of other people. And so I made a post about him on Facebook and I put badass next to him. And awesome. So I think people like that, people that will take responsibility of what's been entrusted to them at a high level, whether it's you're entrusted to be a leader of your country or being a good dad or a good husband or a good son, a place of business. If you're going to do sports, you're just like really committed and then you're just going after it. I think that's a badass.
What a great definition. It's just really taking on that role and responsibility of what you've been entrusted with, you know, and really taking ownership of that. You know, taking leadership in that, and you know, there's so much we can get into that, but I'd love to then now pause there and have you kind of introduce yourself for those who might not know you, and you know, how what your journey's been like, and then we'll kind of get in there from there.
Yeah, well, Mike Hong here out in Oklahoma City. I run a business called Cam Communities here. It's a social enterprise that tries to mix business with nonprofit. We believe that doing good in business can change the world. So that's real estate investment business. I'm also the current president of the Asian District here in Oklahoma City. And I do some public speaking, and I just hope my life is something that I can use to impact and change the world. Awesome. I hope that when I die, people say that because Mike Hong lived, the world is a better place. So working towards that, working towards the end.
Right,
I want to die well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really appreciate you having that and saying that too. It's just, it sounds like there's a really, you know, there's, you have a clear definition or even clear like North Star in that sense, right? When you have something that can guide you towards your path and your next steps. And I'd love to really get into how you might have even just defined that for yourself, and or what that is, like what does living well mean, or what does contributing, you know, to the community mean for you, and then what kind of obstacles you faced along the way to get to that point.
There's a lot we can unpackage that right there. One of the quotes I really liked is, "You have exactly one life to do everything you will ever do. Act accordingly." Right. So we were going to pass through this way once, so don't waste the time that you have here. So how I found that North Star, that's a good question. I think my faith is has been a big part of that. It's really hard to find purpose and direction without your ideals of why we're here. I think that's the two biggest questions that we ask throughout antiquity is, who are we and why are we here? And the why are we here part, it's hard to define unless you can have some sort of view on if there is a God and if you're here by accident or what. From my perspective, I had a really profound experience in high school, and I became a Christian from that. And from that, from, I guess, a Judeo-Christian perspective, it's like you're here for a purpose. You're not here by accident. I wasn't just some sort of cosmic fluke, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's given me a purpose in that I believe that we're all placed here to make the world better, to be salt and light to the world, right? And so throughout that journey, just trying to unpackage what that means, I go throughout college, high school, knew I was called to do business, didn't know exactly how. I was thinking about either getting to ministry or getting to business, and just had some pretty profound experiences that pointed me towards business. If I'm going to gloss over a lot of things, if you ever want to stop me and ask about certain things, feel free to, because there's lots of stories in between I'm skipping over. But 23, I was a financial advisor after getting out of college. I did that for a few years, but I knew I was called to do business. I knew I was called to be a person of wealth and to use that to influence people, influence the community. But I didn't know how to do that. I didn't come from a wealthy background. My family is are refugees from Vietnam. We were the boat people. My dad led an expedition to escape. He was one of the leaders. He helped 70 people escape the country. Wow. 1979. They got here in 1981. And so he had $10 in his pocket, and we grew up super poor. So it's not like I had like any sort of wealth or I was surrounded by any sort of affluence. But I knew a lot of success principles, like who you associate with, you will become. You're like the, I think Stephen Covey or someone says that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Right.
So I was just thinking, well, if I want to be a successful business person or a CEO, how am I going to find those folks as a broke 25-year-old who's living at home, right? Yeah. And so for me, I looked at the Chamber of Commerce here in Oklahoma City. To hang out with some of these CEOs, you had to raise a whole bunch of money to go on these exclusive trips with them. And so I remember having to raise about $15,000 to go on these reward trips and hang out with some of these guys. And it's funny because at the time I think my income was like $11,000 a year. Wow. I was making like $1,000 a month. Wow. Working part-time, you know, living with mom and dad. I remember building my business with at coffee shops. You guys have Panera Breads over in California?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Panera Breads. And so I'd go there versus Starbucks because you can buy a cup and you can refill it yourself.
Yeah.
And wow. So I could go there. Coffee was $1.79, and I can use that cup 2 to 3 times before I got soggy and gross. So I can go to different Panera Bread, so I didn't like notice me coming all the time. Yeah. I'd fill it up and go there to work and use the Wi-Fi, right? But at that time, got on the strip, started hanging out with these successful guys, and started trying to make it work. Mm. I was just broke for a long time until I was able to finally make a marketing business that worked and started getting into real estate.
That so is
the very wow. short story of it.
Yeah. No, there's so much to unpack there too. I mean, like what I really like to kind of explore is what your sort of mindset was, you know, throughout all of this process, you know, and, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of, it sounds like coming from the family and coming from, you know, not having much, it sounds like having that wealth was something that you wanted to have in order to just not be in that situation. I know I can relate to that as well. And, you know, my parents immigrated with not having much as well, but my dad did do a lot to kind of, I'd say, lecture us, but also instill a lot of values and good mentality in terms of, like you said, like surrounding yourself with the people that you want to be around or even want to start to become. And so what was that like, I guess, that like you can walk us through sort of your transition in you know, not coming from much and kind of you were using Starbucks cups multiple times to, you know, really building up that wealth and how you just how you kind of transitioned
that.
You know, through that.
Yeah. So I can understand where that comes from, of not having a lot and then wanting more in your life. I don't think that was it for me exactly. Mm. Mine was more from a calling perspective, because I don't really need a lot. I'm a very simple person. Mm. Like, we've got a real estate portfolio. I think in my bio, it talked about how I was able to become financially independent at 31. But my car, for example, for a long time, I had a busted out windshield. Like, I had a big crack on it. AC wasn't working, you know? Like, I had contractors that drove better cars than me.
Wow.
And so I don't need much, right? I lived in a tiny house for about a year. I wanted to be a millionaire that lived in 200 square foot.
Yeah.
Just to tell other people you don't need big houses and fast cars to have a good life. And I've always been a little bit countercultural everywhere I've been. So it wasn't exactly me wanting to be wealthy because I lacked growing up. It was more that I had a bent towards business and I could use that to impact people.
Yeah.
Because people listen to you more when you're successful. Mm. Right. So if you're in a place where other people want to be, when you speak, your words have weight. And so as a young person, I knew that. And I wanted to be that that old guy one day, so that when I said things, people could be impacted by them.
Right.
But that transition for me, I didn't know a lot of successful folks. I sought out those sort of people. And I would say there was a long season, several years, where I was making about $10,000, $12,000 a year living at home. And coming out of college, Oklahoma City has a lot of oil and gas companies. I had friends making 60, 70, 80 grand. Mm-hmm. And I would see that. And I was always a little bit discouraged. I was like, man, when is this going to happen to me? You know, like, when am I going to finally become successful? I remember going on all these meetings, kind of beating my steering wheel, you know, being frustrated. And one time I didn't have gas. And so in my calendar, like, I had, okay, 10 o'clock meeting with a client, 11 o'clock lunch, 12:30 home, 2 o'clock, another meeting. The reason I put home in my calendar was I need to run home to grab my piggy bank to get change so I can get gas to go to the next appointment.
Wow. Yeah.
And I'm like 26 years old, I'm wearing a suit. Like, no one knows how broke I am, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because I knew I was going to get there at some point. And if I was going to get a normal job, I felt like I was just quitting on my dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was like selling out, I was selling short. And so it wasn't a matter of if I was going to get there, just when. I knew if I was going to continue on the path, I'd get there eventually. I'd figure it out.
Yeah.
So I think that was a transition. Two books that I read that were very influential were Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, Buying Assets and Not Liabilities, Understanding the Two. And then what is that? The 4-Hour Work Week.
Yep.
Tim Ferriss. Yeah. Try to find a muse.
Great ones.
That's what got me into real estate investment, because I wanted to find a muse to give me residual income.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's, I know you, you retired young at around 31 with real estate investments. So I'd love to hear more about that. Like, how you got into that, or I'm sure a lot of listeners here, I think it's very common for Asians to you know, love money and want success. So we all want to kind of learn how we can retire young in that. But how did you retire young and with real estate investment? Why did you do that?
What's the word people use? It's a FIRE or something like that. It's like is that what it is? What's it stand for?
I'm forgetting. I've
heard that
financially
recently.
Independent. I'm blanking out on that too.
yeah. Anyway, I heard that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's funny because I'll start to do things and I realize there's some sort of buzzword with it. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
well, that's what I'm feeling. Like, other people are feeling the same way.
Retire early. Financial independence.
Yeah.
Retire early.
Yeah. So the only reason I ever even say that is because people want to hear it. I hate talking about it. For one, it just sounds like I'm bragging or something. But two, it's not exactly correct, because retiring means not to do anything, right? I don't think that as people or as men that we're called to just put, like, mail off and just live life. Like we're supposed to be doing things that are productive for the good of the world, right? If we're created in the Imago Dei, God's our creator, and we're supposed to continue to work and create. Yes. And I think if we don't do that, it gets very boring and life becomes very bland. And so I always believe that we're supposed to be working on stuff. So I prefer the term financially independent. So I'd rather us say that I'm financially independent than retired, because I'm still building my business and I'm still doing a lot of things. And but financial independence, a lot of people don't know what that is. And so retire young just sounds cooler on a bio.
Yeah.
But financially independent, basically what that means is that your passive income, so you have your cost of living, right? And then you've got your passive income, wherever that is. Without anything, you're at zero. But basically, being financially independent is having your passive income meet or exceed what your expenses are. Mm-hmm. And so you can do that two different ways. One is easy, where you increase your passive income to exceed it. And another way is to lower your expenses, right? Like what things can you cut out that you don't really need? And so, so far as financially where I'm at, it's not like I'm balling out of control, but I do have enough passive income to live and not have to worry about paying bills.
Yeah. You know,
but it's not like a place I want to stay. Like I'd like to grow and be able to have more. But yeah, it's a, but becoming financially independent is a great spot to be in and continue to work, because you're not having to work for a paycheck. You're not having to work for the ability to pay rent. Mm-hmm. Like you're working because you're coming from a place of stability instead of trying to get to a place. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I did that with a real estate investment. So single family homes and small multifamily.
Gotcha. I'm into real estate myself, so I'm sure that there's a lot of, we can talk there too. Yeah. But
what are you doing with real estate?
We might need to do multiple parts here.
happy to chat, man.
Yeah. I do a short-term rental management. So
okay, cool. Like Airbnb.
Yeah, exactly. Or managing Airbnbs or VRBO.
Okay, cool.
Not there too, but
yeah.
I've so
a tiny house I'm doing short-term with.
Oh, love it. Awesome. Yeah. Where at?
In my backyard. Yeah.
Cool.
So I built a tiny house in my backyard. It's on wheels and 200 square feet. Awesome. Love it. If anyone on the podcast wants to check it out, it's at Plaza Tiny House on Instagram. Pictures and stuff are on there. But I lived in it for a year. But I love hosting friends for like game nights and dinner. So it's really hard to do that in a tiny house.
Yeah.
So after a year, moved back into the main house and then rented out the tiny house.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. No,
it's a good investment.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to hit on too. It sounds like, you know, personally, real estate is one of the best investments you can make, you know, on earth, is, you know, investing in earth. But you know, so but I wanted to talk kind of like the bigger level idea of that, or at the macro level, in terms of being financially independent, right?
Yeah.
Where you're not, you know, really worrying about your day-to-day or living paycheck to paycheck, not worrying about what you can afford or can't do, and limiting your own experiences of life because of it, you know. So I think that's a great topic to explore here too, in terms of you know, how you like, what does that free up for you? Let's see, there's so many questions I can ask here, so I'm trying to
put me into direction. I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
I'm just thinking, even for me personally, you know, like I came from technology, and that was very lucrative for me, and did give me, you know, a lot of a good income, but it wasn't, I didn't have that passive income. I was still trading my time for money there. And even now, as I'm building up my own businesses, I haven't quite gotten to that point. So I'm curious, like, man, I don't want to get into like all the how and all the detail, because I know that can get a lot of like very just complicated. But maybe at a high level, like what did you do to
really get started in having that financially independence?
Yeah. That's a good question. So how I became financially independent, basically I started with learning about it. So I was doing sales when I was super broke. I was working part-time for a home builder here in Oklahoma City. So I was working part-time making, I don't know, $12 an hour or so, and sitting at show homes and then filling in for managers of these show homes whenever they need like time off, right? So I'd sit there and I had a buddy come in that lived in the neighborhood that the show house was in. I posted on Facebook that I was around, and he told me that his parents had six houses from that builder. So the person that built that neighborhood and that show home, his parents had six of those houses. And I was like, well, I understand having vacation homes, but why do you want more than two houses, right? And why would you have multiple houses in the same city? And he said, oh, he rents them out, or they rent them out. I'm like, okay, I never even thought about that. Like, I knew that happened, people did that, but I didn't realize, I'd never put two and two together, I guess. And he said that they got into it, and with six houses, they're almost all paid off. And I was just doing math in my head, and I was an entrepreneur, right? I knew I was going to make some money with business one day, but I didn't have any sort of retirement plan. I don't have like a 401k, I don't have a pension. And when he said that if your houses are paid off and you make $1,000 a month per house, six houses, that's $72,000 a year. That's retirement for me, right? And so I was thinking, okay, I'm 25 years old. If I start buying some houses now, say I get 10 houses, by the time I'm retired, I had the opportunity to have residual income in retirement. Anyway, so that was the mindset. And so I started learning about it. There's a real estate association in my community. And so I started visiting that, started reading blogs, listening to podcasts. But I didn't have the money to get into it. So I was living at home, super broke, making $10,000 a year. And I just tried to learn as much as I could until one day when I had the opportunity to do it, I would get into it. Fast forward a few years, I started making some adult money and started saving up. As a business owner, it's difficult to get a loan if you're just now making money, because the banks look 2 years in the past of your income. And so even though I was making good money, finally, 2 years in the past, if you added that income out, like I wasn't making nothing, right? So no one's going to loan me anything. So I had to buy my first house with cash. Like I said, I was 20, by this time I'm about 29 years old, living with my folks. So I was able to just like squirrel away a bunch of money, and bought my first house. And I borrowed some money from my folks for the remodel. I was dating a girl who I hired as my assistant, and then she was my general contractor, and she had a lot of confidence in her ability to figure it out, right? This house needed a whole bunch of work done to it, $36,000. It's this thing's a garbage dump. And which this is the house today. You kind of see that in the background. Right. Yeah. It basically doubled. Like we spent about $100,000, and then now it's worth over $200,000. And I was able to take the money out of that to buy other houses, because everything was cash, right? So if you refinance it, you can refinance, say, 80% of what the house is worth with a bank. And so the bank will give you 80% of, in this case, $200,000. So that's what, I don't know, $160,000 of cash. You can do whatever you want with it. You can do hookers and blow, you can go to Vegas, or you can invest it into something, right?
Yeah.
And so I was able to buy other houses with that and do the same thing. So if people are listening and want to know more about that method, kind of like what I said before, I'll do things and realize it's actually a thing. It's called the BRRR method.
Yeah.
BRRR method. Just Google that. Bigger Pockets talks about it, which is another podcast / blog to get more info on the BRRR method. But yeah, just start off with one house and then bought another one and remodeled that one, refinanced it, and started buying more and more.
Yeah.
And then now we have about 15 units.
That's awesome. Well, again, I know that we could always dive into that, but this isn't necessarily a real estate podcast. So if you want to check out the real estate stuff, definitely listen to the Bigger Pockets. Bigger Pockets for sure. Learn more about that. So, you know, to
kind of shift gears, I want to hear more about why it's important for you to have that financial independence. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about not necessarily retiring, and you mentioned about, like, as men, you know, sometimes we do need that work. We need that purpose to kind of continue working on, you know, something, right? And having that drive for it. So I think that's something that's very much lacking in a lot of just masculinity culture, where, you know, I think especially for me growing up, when I didn't have that model or even resource, you know, or even skill to find my own purpose, that
yeah,
I was being pulled in so many different directions. I didn't know what I was really stood for. And so I'm curious, yeah, why is that important for you to, first of all, develop that purpose, but also then have that financial independence to kind of, you know, pursue that?
Yeah, I can tell your brain goes in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, sorry.
which is good, but those are two completely different ones. So let's bookmark the financial independence and then we'll talk about the purpose part. So purpose, the purpose thing is very important because without it, I mean, what's the point of living, right? It's almost like there's a story, I forget what Olympics this was, but it was like this, like a shooting event. It was basically this, they're shooting rifles or like sniper rifles, basically, they're shooting this target, right? And you've got this athlete who is, he needs to make a bullseye on this target. It was like 100 yards away or something like that. He needs to hit this bullseye in order to get gold. And he had to hit it perfect. Anyway, there's all this suspense, he builds up, because you have to be very dialed in when it's very far away to shoot a target. You have to calculate wind and the humidity and all this sort of stuff. Because as the bullet travels, it starts to drop and it gets affected by all these things. So he dials everything in. Everyone is watching, anticipating the shot to see if he's going to get gold. He shoots it, and then it hits bullseye dead center. But the little buzzer doesn't go off, right? And he like looks up, he's like, what's going on? He actually shot the wrong target and lost.
Right? Oh man.
yeah, he hit exactly right, man. but he shot the wrong one and lost. And so if you liken that towards our lives, if you don't have some sort of purpose, it's like, I don't want to hit a goal that was just bullshit, right? Yeah. Say I want to be to raise up the name of Mike Hong and be known as some guy who dated really cute girls and drove a Ferrari, you know, like what's the point of that? Like all that stuff's going to rot and it's all bullshit at the end of the day. So the purpose part of it is just beginning with the end in mind, like knowing what target you're trying to hit. And for me in my 20s, I did basically like a bucket list. What things I wanted to do with my life. Like one of my biggest fears isn't like, I don't know, the normal fear that people have, like heights or public speaking or clowns or whatever. It's like, I've been given so much with my life, like seeing where my parents have come from, my grandparents, and I'm born in the United States, the most affluent country in the world with all the opportunity at my fingertips. My grandfather couldn't read or write. My dad grew up in a civil war, you know, and he had a fighting claw to come here for opportunity. And I just was born here out of no merit of my own. And I've got my health. I'm intelligent, bright. I've got a lot of things that were just given to me. Like I didn't have to work for them. And so one of my biggest fears is being at the end of my life and realizing that I just wasted it. Because in that season of like 25, I can just have a crappy day or a week, and then it's like, okay, I've got another day, I've got another week. Like, oh, I blew today. I just like was on Facebook and Instagram. I didn't accomplish any of my goals, right? Got up like at noon, you know. But there's always tomorrow. So I kind of put myself in a place, say I'm 85, I'm on my deathbed. There's no more tomorrow. There's no more opportunity I'll get it right tomorrow, right?
Right.
And so I looked at my life from that perspective and I thought, like of a place of regret that, hey, I wasted my life. Okay, what in my life did I want to have accomplished to make me know that this was a life that was worth living? So it's not exactly like goals or awards or a set amount of money, but it's like milestones. It's things that are indicators of a life I wanted to lead. Like have someone come up to me that I've never met before and have them tell me that I changed their life by something that I did, you know. But it's also fun things like travel to Europe or Japan, yeah, or make a certain amount of money. The money is important, like I said, because you have a lot more influence with that, right? With your speaking, with your giving, leadership, all this sort of stuff. It's a lot of that sort of stuff. So I basically started working backwards, beginning with the end of mind, and so that I knew that I would hit the right target. Hmm. And then along the way, every year I go in sabbatical. Sabbatical is basically some time off to relook at your life. Most people know what a Sabbath is. A lot of religious folks, it's like a Sunday. And so a Sabbath is a day of rest. A sabbatical is several days of rest together. And so that's an opportunity for me every year to go on a sabbatical and just kind of reassess where I'm at. Think and pray about the year before and then make plans for the next year and kind of compare that to like what that target is for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why purpose is really important, so that you live a life you wanted to live.
Yeah. 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 I know my mind did go in a lot of different ways, but I did see a lot of connection in, you know, having a lot of that financial independence and having that money to be used as an influence, but also even just to create the space for you to start pursuing a one of these higher level intangible kind of things around purpose, right? And so what I also wanted, I saw a connection with what you mentioned earlier about what being badass meant to you, is just, you know, taking on that role and responsibility of what's been entrusted with you. And I heard you say, you know, you don't want to waste your life that was given to you, you know, with so much that you have been entrusted and given to you for your life. You know, it is taking on that role and responsibility to have purpose, or even just act with purpose.
It sounds like
to be able to do that, though, I know a lot of men here or even listeners are just saying, I don't have time to think about all that stuff. I need to, you know,
make money.
I need to date the best girl or whatever, you know, and so that just want to say that's all the connection I saw there in terms of, you know, now that you have this financial independence, you can start to really pursue what you do care about and really leading with purpose.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what you might be able to, it sounds like having that fear of you wasting your life at the end of the day when you're looking at yourself on your deathbed, you know, what is something that really drives you. How might others, or how might people just be able to really connect to that, other than just obviously thinking like, yeah, I obviously don't want to, it's easy to think and rationalize like, yeah, I don't want to be on 85 or on my deathbed and have wasted my life. But in the moment, it's hard to get yourself to do things, especially do the hard thing, right? Yeah, the uncomfortable thing. So how did you work through that? How did you work through any obstacles that you might have come up, even physically, financially, but even mentally and emotionally too?
Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to be speaking to Mike Hong at 25, so 10 years, my junior, because I struggled with that a lot in that season of who am I? Why am I here?
Yeah.
What does this all mean? And I think that's where you start, though. You start asking those questions. And then number two, you go to that place where I went of beginning with the end in mind and put yourself in that spot, right? So you start there and you think, okay, what sort of life do I want? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it might just be, what kind of life do I not want? You know, like, I don't want a marriage like this, that you're fighting all the time, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to end up divorced, or I don't want to worry about money. You know, you can even start there. And then almost work backward. It's like, okay, how do you get that marriage that you want? It's almost like, who do I need to marry? Who do I need to become? Right. So, okay, So maybe I need to start going to some relationship seminars. Maybe I need to go to counseling. Maybe I should, whatever, right? Or I don't want to worry about money. Say that's your fear that you don't want. It's like, okay, so what do I need to do to get to that spot? Do I need to make more money? Do I need a budget? Do I need to do some sort of financial peace seminar? So it's almost like you put something on your goal list, or mine was a bucket list. I put things on my bucket list, and then I almost would work backwards from it. Right. So I wanted to, for example, I wanted to have a life that of influence. I wanted to help do my part to make the world better. Mm-hmm. And I knew that one day I wanted to do some public speaking. I didn't necessarily want to be a public speaker, that's my job. But within my life, I wanted to use that as a platform. So with that, I'd never really done that before. I did a little bit maybe in high school, college, just class projects or whatever. But I felt like I needed to do something like that in the future. And so I put on my bucket list, speak to 500 people, right? That was like my first goal. And then below that is like speak to 100 people, right? It's like, well, how do I learn how to speak? So another goal was to join Toastmasters. Toastmasters is a public speaking group. That they're a club that gets together every week, right? Mm-hmm. So you just set some sort of goal out there and then work backwards from it. And that's where you start, just knowing what it is. You don't have to like accomplish it, or you don't have to do it, but just identifying it will do such a huge thing with like your vision for your life.
Yeah.
So that's where you'd start, and then work backwards and figure out, it can be really daunting because it's your entire life. It's right. Like, what do I want to do with my life? It's like, well, if I want to be there one day, what things do I need to do along the way to get there? And then what can I start doing in this season or this next season? And then start walking that path. You know, it's like the saying that yard by yard, it's hard. Inch by inch, it's a cinch.
So that's the first I heard that one.
If you think really long term, it becomes very intimidating. But if you break those things down in little increments, it's like, oh, well, I'm not sure if I could do all that, but I can do these couple things.
Yeah. Right.
And that's how you start. Maybe talk about it, vision board. There's lots of tools to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I hear is just really, it sounds like it's just defining what that end goal is, and sort of reverse engineering, you know, working back from that that you can break it down to say like, okay, this is the first step now, you know, and not let that whole end goal overwhelm you know, and getting caught up in it, but then breaking it down, just narrowing it down so that you get to that first step that you can then, you know, work inch by inch. I wanted to bring back what you said around that story you told about, you know, shooting the wrong target, you know, and because I think then it's not what might hold a lot of people back. I know it held me back was, well, how do I know which target is the right one to shoot at? You know, how do I know this is my end goal I want to live my life for, you know, and, you know, want to even just start the process of reverse engineering if I don't know if this is what I want. Mm-hmm. So how did you really... you know,
figure out aiming
at that right target, and how do you know that was the right one for you?
Yeah, really, really good deep questions. I like it. So everyone's going to be very different in their life of what your goal is going to be, but it takes time. Like you're not going to get it in a weekend or a workshop. Some people it could take years, or some people it changes. You know, I would start just asking that question. I would start pursuing it. It took me, I don't know, maybe years of pursuing it to figure out what it is for me. So that could be part of your bucket list, is figure out my purpose, right? Mm-hmm. You can put that on there. That's a place to start. What is that goal? I would start asking other people. I would maybe look at some YouTube videos, get that question answered. But seek within yourself of, how am I wired? What are the things that I enjoy doing? What in life do I feel fulfilled in? Some of the things that people don't want are like bad relationships, being financially insecure. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you work backwards from that, even of how do I have good relationships around me? How do I become financially secure? I mean, those are like some small things, right? But so far as bigger picture, self-actualization, bigger things, everyone's going to be a little bit different. So I would do a lot of soul searching, put that on your journal list, I guess, like think through it, read books, ask questions. And I think that if you believe there's a God or not, I think there is. And I think that we ask questions, God, some people want to call him the universe, but I think there's an all-knowing creator being that wants a relationship with us. I think when you ask, you'll get answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether you meditate or pray or whatever you want to call it, just ask, and some of those things will start getting unfolded for you.
Mm, beautiful. Yeah. I know, you know, for those who might not be as religious too, I like to sort of ask the question internally into your own intuition. You know, what is your gut and intuition and even just deeper inner source tell you, you know, about your path? And even more practically, then it sounds like you mentioned earlier of finding what you don't want, you know, maybe creating what I love about, Warren Buffett who said, like, create a what not to do list.
Oh yeah.
You know? And I think that's a really key part in turning in finding what you do want is just process of elimination, you know? Yeah. And then in combination with, you know, trusting yourself, trusting your source, trusting God. So that sounds, that sounds like it was a big path or kind of.
A tool or a mindset to go forward. Yeah. Another idea is what I did to find my major in college. Was I was undecided for about 2 years until almost my junior year. And how I figured out my major was a tip that someone gave me in high school, where I got like a whole sheet of all the majors. And instead of trying to pick what I wanted to do, I started marking off stuff I knew I didn't want. And I started narrowing it down, right?
Yep.
So that stuff like that really, really helped me.
Cool. Yeah.
And lots of times you don't know because you don't have the example. You haven't seen it before.
Right.
So the more you ask, the more you seek out, the more you're going to see it.
Yeah. Maybe a good question now to kind of start to wrap up. We're coming up on the hour here, you know, on that, what we just talked about.
I can't believe it's already been almost an hour.
I know. It just flew by. So what is that question that you are asking of yourself right now? Or maybe it's something that you don't quite have the answer to yet, or something just what is that question that you're asking of yourself or of the world of business?
that's a good question. How do I answer that? I'm not sure how much stuff I'm trying to figure out. I think I've done a lot of work on myself and who I am. But recently I took over as the president of the Asian district here in my city. And we've got a volunteer board, except I had someone from the city of Oklahoma City mention that, or she almost like congratulated or encouraged us. And she said something like, I'm really impressed with what you've been able to do with a volunteer board. I'm like, hey, thank you. But what does that mean? And what she said was most organizations your size, they have staff, like full-time, part-time employees. And you guys are just running with volunteers. And I was thinking, huh, we're doing a lot. But what that means is like me and the board of directors, we're doing a lot of volunteer work. And it's just a lot. I'm almost spending more time volunteering than I am my own business. And so the question that I'm continuing to ask is, how do I lead this organization better? How do I put steps in place to hire an executive director for the organization? A lot of that stuff. It's going to be an ongoing journey. I figured out some things and I'm going to be figuring out a lot of other things the rest of my life and the rest of my career. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to be the best leader I can for the organization, because I believe our mission is something that is really important.
Yeah.
And just moving forward in that and trying to figure that out.
Yeah. Thank you for that. It's always a question and a journey for all of us, is that, you know, we're all figuring it out together. So appreciate you sharing that. I can give you the floor then to talk more about that organization or what else you're working on. How might, like, yeah, what is that organization? Where might people find more information about it?
Yeah, so if you're in the Oklahoma City area or surrounding states, Texas, Kansas, Arkansas, the Oklahoma City Asian District, we are basically like a bastion for Asian culture in Oklahoma City. So what we realized, or what I realized, is that if our generation isn't very intentional about carrying on our heritage to the next generation, we're just going to lose it forever. Mm. There's one time whenever I was playing volleyball with a bunch of buddies, and this tall, 6 foot tall, blonde hair, blue eyed white guy comes up. We start hitting it off. We have a good conversation, and he asks, "Hey, what kind of Asian are you?" And I was like, "Well, I'm Vietnamese, and my great grandfather was Chinese, so I'm an eighth Chinese." He said, "Oh, awesome! I'm Japanese." I was like, "Crap, you're not Japanese." Yeah. I look up. He's 6 foot tall, you know. He's like, "No. My grandmother, my grandfather met in World War II, so my mom's half, and I'm a fourth."
Oh wow!
And I started looking at him, and I realized, "Oh, yeah, you are Japanese." So I started asking him about that, and I asked him, "Do you speak any Japanese?" He's like, "Oh, no." Have you ever been to Japan? He's like, "No." And I asked, do you know anything about Japan? He's like, "I like sushi."
Yeah.
And I just realized, wow, just in two generations,
yeah,
he's forgotten his heritage. And I think a part of our heritage and a part of our identity is always going to be with our parents and our grandparents, our ancestors' background in Asia. And so just in two generations, he forgot a piece of who he was. And so if we're not really intentional in our generation to move that forward, we're just going to lose that forever. Like the stories that you and I have from our parents, cultures, mm-hmm. and things that they value. Our families were really badass being immigrants here for a lot of reasons. If we don't pass that on, we're just going to lose it. And say if I marry someone who's Caucasian, my kids will be half. My great grandkids are going to be a fourth, and they're going to be walking around 6 foot tall, looking at like that guy, not knowing who they are their entire lives, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what the organization looks to do. But Instagram, it's Asian District OK, and we have events, festivals. Last event that we had about 40,000 people in the heart of Oklahoma City celebrating Asian culture at our Asian Night Market Festival. So
very cool.
It's been a really cool journey. We're a super young organization. We've been around for about 4 years, and we're just really just laying the foundations of what's going to be to come 10, 20 years down the road.
Right.
So it's a exciting group, exciting journey.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I really thank you for doing that and just even having that space for that to, you know, have people just reconnect back to their culture and keep it for generations. I that really hit me when we can just lose that in just two generations there, you know, man. And that's something I think about too, being born here and, you know, I lost a lot of my Chinese or ability to speak it, but something to think about. If only then you can expand to the West Coast, so we'll have you out here too.
Well, you guys have some huge stuff.
I'm sure we do too, and I'm sure we can.
Yeah, some of the stuff we're emulating things that you guys are doing.
Yeah,
but kind of back to what we were saying before about financial independence. If I didn't have a lot of freedom with my career, I wouldn't be able to volunteer at this capacity.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to have freedom to spend on things that are important.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me just give you the floor as well here, Mike, to plug yourself and share more about what you're working on or how people can find you too.
Yeah, if you want to check me out on Instagram, it's at Mike L. Hong. Hong's H-O-A-N-G. It's Vietnamese, at Mike L. Hong. And my bio's on there. If you want to click some of those links, you can hear about some of my background and what I'm doing. But yeah, if somebody has opportunities for public speaking, around the nation. Would love to. I've flown out to some different places. Would love to speak more at conferences or something like that. So if anyone has any speaking stuff that wants to fly me out from Oklahoma City, would love to chat.
Awesome. I'll put all those links in the show notes here for people to check out. Definitely reach out to Mike and hear more about his stories here. All right. Yeah. Thanks for sharing and for coming on again, Mike. Really appreciate you being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Mike Hong. It was just super excited to speak with him and be able to share some deep stuff together in this conversation. So I hope you got a lot out of it as well. Again, don't forget to share this with a brother that you know could get a lot of value out of this as well. And review and rate this episode on the platform that you're listening to as well. Just a few updates on the Badass Asian Dudes and the group and community here. I have been personally just kind of busy with so many other things and haven't really been able to put as much time, to be completely honest, into this brotherhood. It's still a very deep passion of mine to up-level the community here, but it is kind of taking a toll on a lot of my own well-being and just my own motivation to continue doing so, as it's, I don't get paid to do this right now, and a lot of my situation, my financial situation, is kind of taking a toll. So I've been kind of focusing on my business right now, and also real estate. So that's where I've been really. That's another reason I was excited to talk with Mike, actually, to speak on that. But yeah, I've been working on building up my management company as well, and also becoming a mortgage loan originator. So just been busy studying up and working on those areas right now, and haven't really been able to put into, you know, this passion project here. And I just wanted to share all that just to really be upfront and honest with where I'm at in editing these episodes and, you know, putting on the monthly men's group and social events and meetups, all these things and all these, you know, plans we had for this group just haven't really come into fruition. So we're just going to kind of take a step back on, you know, the group as we kind of refocus a little bit here. The more you engage with us, the more we can, you know, get motivated to get this going again as well. You know, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/BadassAsianDudes. You can obviously search that in the Facebook search as well, and comment on, you know, how much you enjoy the show, the group, the you know, the idea of having men's groups or in-person meetups. Definitely reach out if you're interested in helping along with any of these projects as well, and tell the people who would resonate with this about us as well. So thanks again, though, for sticking with us and for listening through all the way here. I really appreciate you and your loyal listenership. You didn't have to listen all the way here. So thanks again, and I'll catch you next time.